I was speaking to a person who is an audiologist. When I was in Durban, they deal with ears, and they were saying one of the top, I think, three things that damage ears today, one of them is charismatic churches. So tonight we reduced that. We reduced that damage, which is great. Houses. I was like, goodness me, that's not good. When she said it, I was like, sorry, what? What did you say? I had to. I'm contractually obliged to do that. I love that song, I'll Give You All My Worship. I remember singing it when I was younger. And I remember going to a youth group that was in, I think it was in sort of Richmond Hill area. And they called themselves Club 68. And that started in 1968. And I remember going there. I was 15 years old. And I went along there because there was a girl in my grade at school that I really liked. And I don't even know where she is now, but I really liked her. And she said, no, she's part of this youth group. And I thought, well, then I am too. And I went along. And I remember, I remember it so clearly, walking down the steps into sort of the basement of a house where this youth group met. And I remember just going, what have I done? Like, I don't want to be here. I want to talk to this girl. I don't want to meet all these people. And I remember walking up to a table and some guys were playing pool. And this guy turned to me and he said, hi, are you new? And I said, yes, I'm Sean, my 15-year-old version of the grunt that sounded out those vowels. I said, whatever, I'm Sean. And I remember him just going, his name was Wayne. He said, I'm Wayne. It's so good to meet you. Remember me, I'm Wayne. It's amazing to have you here. And I remember in about 5 seconds, I went from going, I don't want to be here at all, into going, I'm here. And I want, whenever you guys are meeting, I want to meet. And I ended up dating that girl and then breaking up with her, and our relationship didn't last that long. But I was with that group of people for years. And I learned about the Lord, and through such a key phase of my life, I was with those guys in this youth group. And I remember, it was the Lord, but I remember such a big part of it being the way that guy greeted me. It instantly made me realize, but hang on, somebody here is full of love. If they're full of love, I want to be here. I remember growing up and in those years, there was a church attached to that youth group, or the youth group was attached to the church. And at a point, the pastor of that church left and went to another church, and we all kind of migrated with him. And I remember being at that church and then meeting a guy who became my best friend. He became like a brother to me. And he took me to his church meeting. And it was a church called The Storehouse in Lorraine. And I remember walking in and going, well, what is this? And something felt different. And I didn't know what was going on, but something was going on. And what I only realized later was that that church was being led decisively and strongly. And they scared me, The Storehouse. They made me nervous. I've grown up. I'm different now. But they bothered me. I thought, what is this? I'm not used to people acting like this, in the sense that they knew where they were going, they knew what they were doing, they had a mission, they were going to do it. And they bothered me a lot, but I kind of hung around and sort of was there, and people didn't know exactly where I stood on things, but I was there. And then one day at The Storehouse, a guy called Brad got up and said, we're planting a church, and we're going to plant down in Humewood. It was 2002. And I said, Humewood, that sounds like a lot closer to where I lived in Summer Strand. I was like, that sounds a lot closer to my house than this in Lorraine, which might as well be Cape Town if you live in Summer Strand. And I remember going, the Lord is telling me to join this church plant. The Lord is in it. And so they started meeting in the coffee shop, and I remember being in there in the first days. And I sort of insinuated myself among them without really wanting to get to know anyone. But it was closer to my house. I started going, and I'd arrive late at the meetings and sit at the back. And even in a group that small, as they'd first planted, I was able to sort of be in and out among them. And people were trying to get to know me, but I was kind of slippery. And I remember not wanting to be there. But when I heard Brad preach, I knew he was preaching the truth. And again, it bothered me a bit, but I knew I needed to listen to it. And I would go back, and I'd go back, and I'd go back. And I embarked on a deep rebellion against God, and then God gripped my heart. And here we are. And here we are today. And the Lord has led us, and he's led me. And I want to preach tonight about how somebody joins a church. How somebody joins a church. I don't know how in-depth I'm going to go. I just want to open this up in our minds. I want to help those of us who are among us and catching some of the life that you're feeling among us. I want to help you. And then I want to help our leaders as well as we try and lead and disciple. That we'll all be on the same page. That we'll understand just even in Scripture what we see is how people join churches. I think today we've gone a bit haywire and it's gone all over the place and we need to take it back. There are concepts and things that get stolen from the church and the church begins to play the world's games and we need to steal it back and hold on to these things and hold on to what is dear to us. I think there would be, certainly, I don't think this is normative today, but there would be churches that might be quite hard to join. Maybe some churches have a very high bar of, external behavior modification, whatever it is. And maybe you feel like, I can't be among these people. I think those are very few, actually. So you might get some churches that are very hard to join. I think the most churches in the West, and certainly in charismatic evangelical circles, are incredibly easy to join. I think I would say too easy, actually. I think the church has played a game that has ended up biting it, and it's suffering at the moment. And I'm not going to preach a word tonight that is designed to be offensive or anything. I don't think this is offensive at all, by the way. But I think we need to be careful that our thinking is biblical, even around joining churches. So those of us who've been part of this congregation for a long time, well, we need to teach others, and we need to help others. And we're having people come in and among us regularly, which we're so happy about, but we need to see this thing rightly and help each other through these things in the correct way. And when I think of biblical thinking, I think of Acts chapter 2. If you open in Acts chapter 2, we know what happened with the early church, how the church was birthed in power. And we are never told to try and replicate the flames that descended upon the disciples as they were in the upper room, the 120. We're never told to try and replicate that. But very clearly, we do replicate what came after that. So there was a, in some sense, a blunt display of power in Jerusalem on that day. And we want the Lord's power, but we're not in a position to dictate the Lord how his power is poured out. He's God. But what we are to do is, as the Lord's life is among us, we are to try and replicate what we see of their lives and the lives they lived. And so I'm going to start at Acts 2 verse 43 because I know what happens if I start at Acts 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves to, and everybody goes, they devoted themselves, and it becomes white noise because we've read it so much and we've thought about it so much and the words have just become, we've got to be careful they don't become in some way dead. All scripture is God breathed, so the it's not dead in and of itself, but we've got to be careful in our own minds it doesn't become dead. So I'm going to start in Acts 2 verse 43. Look at the result of the Spirit being poured out and people being born again. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to know what we are aiming at as a church, as a congregation, as a church, as Oxygen Life. We're aiming at living lives that look like that. We're aiming at being faithful to what we see in Scripture. We're aiming at the church we see in the New Testament. We know it had many flaws. I'm reading a book about the first 400 years of the church at the moment, and it was just literally one continual fight against heresy, against every manner of deception that was trying to come in. And so there was much to fight for. But we also see a wonderful description of their joy, their sincerity, their love. And we are to aim at that. And when I think of people joining a church, I think of that last line I read, verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You couldn't be a church transplant in those days. Those were the only Christians. So you couldn't have come from another church and be added to them. That was just people being born again. But even today, you would say the Lord needs to add someone. So I see a few things leading up to that. I see something powerful, genuine, attractive. And I believe in many cases, actually what we see amongst God's people, it's beautiful, it's strong, it's there's an awe to it. If you look at those words that were in that little description, glad, sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor, there's awe at the many signs and wonders. So you've got this attractive package in some sense, but it's not surface level, it's not shallow, it's attractive because it carries the life of God. So you might even come among us, you might come and be in one of our meetings if you're a relatively new person and feel like you're seeing something. I don't know what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing. I think what you're seeing is a unity that we're fighting hard for, to love and know each other, really care for each other, be in each other's lives as much as we can. I think what you're seeing is good leadership, leaders who are shepherds, who care for the sheep. And so there can be a sense of awe when a person comes in amongst God's people, and please just be assured of this, and I'll give you the details if you need them. We are not perfect, we're not perfect. We've got a lot of issues. We've got a lot of things that are wrong. We've got a lot of things we struggle with. We've got a lot of shortcomings. We've got a lot of weakness. We've got a lot of failures. But in the main, we are fighting to be God's people and to represent Him properly. And so someone can come in among us and see something, and in some way there's a sense of awe. But still at the end there, I see that God added. So you can see something beautiful in a church. And let's be honest, in the flesh even, the church can conjure up something that looks good. It looks like it's life-giving. But God has to add us to a church. God has to be in it, adding us. This is one of the key ingredients. It's almost like you're walking into a place. You walk in. You stand on the outside of it, and above the door, you see something that's attractive, like love, fellowship, friendship, power, sincerity. And you see that, and you think, I want to get in there. I need to be with those guys. And you go through. But as you go through and you look on the inside of the door, God says, I've added you here. I'm in this. I've done this. That's what it looks like. In Acts chapter 2, that's what it looks like when a person is added to the church. You might come, how many of us actually came and started coming to meetings together or coming where God's people were meeting because we were amazed at the love people had for each other? I mean, how many of us, that was one of my testimonies. I was amazed at how people loved each other. And Jesus said that would be the predominant sign. This is how the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So you come in because you see those things. There's an awe, there's a sincerity. But actually, God is adding. God is adding a person. And this is the thing we must fight for. Because if we're arbitrarily added to a group and just come in amongst them and think, well, this is nice. The minute it's not nice, we're out. But if God has added us, we can do anything together. If God is in it, and if God has been pulling the strings, and God is leading us, then we can do anything. I think of the early days of Oxygen. There was, for me, I was attracted by what I saw of people's love. I was attracted by the power of the preaching that I saw. I felt like Brad was just preaching straight into my heart, and I hated it. But I was like, I have to come back. I have to come and be here. And at that time, I was thinking of church as a Sunday thing, which it isn't. Church is the people. But I was thinking of it like that. And I was thinking, I've got to come next Sunday, and I've got to listen again. And he would preach these words that would come. And I would, these things were attracting me. And I was feeling like I need to be amongst this group of people. But then actually, as I got, I saw sincerity. I don't think Katrine's here tonight. I think Katrine's away. But I remember Katrine once talking to me, and I felt like she was looking through me. I think she said something profound like, how are you? And I felt like she was staring into my soul. And I realized in that moment, I was so uncomfortable. I was like, I'm good. And you? But I felt so uncomfortable. But I realized, I walked away and went, she really cares how I am. She's not just asking me how I'm doing to pass some time, or like we've got 5 minutes before the meeting starts. She genuinely cared. And I saw sincerity. I spent time with people who were careful about what they said. They wanted to speak in life-giving ways. They didn't want to speak in ways that would take away, that would damage a person. They wanted to speak in ways that would build someone up. Remember, the Bible says, speak only that which is useful for building up and helping and not breaking down. And I saw those things in Oxygen. And as I came in amongst people, I realized, oh, God has added me here. God has added me. And you know, there's times where I've been, I do think maybe still when I'm feeling really down or low or disappointed in myself or whatever it is, my inclination is to withdraw. I want to withdraw. And I certainly had times amongst God's people where I was like, I want to withdraw. I want to get out of here. I don't want to be with these guys anymore. They're so much better than me. I can't get stuff right. My life's a mess. And I would just think to myself, but God's added me. And if God has added me and he's not releasing me, then I cannot leave these people. Now, this is not a preach to say no one's allowed to leave this church, but close the doors anyway. And no, this is not a preach to say no one's allowed to leave this church. That's ridiculous. Even Paul, we see that he stayed in a church for 2 years and then he'd go and he'd come back to Antioch and then he'd go on. Of course, God can move people. We prayed for people even last week who've moved and we regularly see people going out from among us. This is to say that it's not arbitrary. It's not in the flesh. And we're not going, well, I don't like the way this is going and I don't think I like you guys anymore, so I'm out. We go, no, if God added me here, then I'm here. And we'll fight, man. We'll fight for each other. We can do anything. Listen, if we start with that, well, what could we not deal with? What could we not fight our way through? What could we not come to the Lord with and say, Lord, help us? Think of this generation. This generation, increasingly, because the Bible says the world will get more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. So I'm not having a go at just one generation. It's just this escalating sense of reserving the right to bail out of anything. I reserve the right to bail out of anything. Why today has the getting the foot in the door for medically assisted suicide? The foot in the door for medically assisted suicide was, if you're really, really sick and you actually do not want to live and you're in so much pain, we'll help you. Now, it's if you're sick in your mind and you don't think you can carry on, we'll help you. You just need a few little test cases, and they did it in Europe. And now you've got, the other day it was in the news, a mother whose son died. God help her. Oh, she's dead now. But I mean, the poor woman. But she just said, I don't want to live anymore. And they helped her. This is this generation. I reserve the right to opt out of what I don't want to be in. And I don't stand in judgment over people. That is an extreme circumstance. And my heart breaks for them. But we must see the signs around us in this generation. I will leave whatever I want to leave. If I don't want to be here, I do not have to be here. And this trickles in amongst God's people. Because we've got to live in this world. And the world preaches to us. It ministers to us. And if we're not careful, we go, well, I'm out. I don't like this anymore. And I'm gone. This is not being preached as a reaction in any way. I want to just help us get our minds in the same place and get us thinking right. Because if God has put us together, we can fight through anything. We can contend for anything. We can fight for each other's lives when God brings us together. So I see that. I see Acts 2. I see awe. And I see the external things that I think would have been attractive to people. And as they joined, but they would have seen those things and been drawn to them. But at the same time, they knew that God had actually added them. God had brought them together. I want to ask you, if you're losing a heart even among us, if the enemy is just sitting here going, don't you think you can serve God on your own? If you're having those thoughts and you're feeling tempted by them, I want to ask you, did God bring us together? If God brought us together, let's fight. Let's fight, not fight each other. Let's fight for this. Let's fight for what God is doing among us. And then as I go on, I see Acts chapter 5. Maybe you brought a visitor and you thought, just please don't read Acts 5. And I'm not going to read the whole part that precedes this. I'm just going to read three verses. But God takes the life of a married couple in the church in Acts chapter 5. God takes their life. They don't lose it in some ordinary way or some tragedy. God actually takes them. And he does it as an example because what they did was they lied, they misrepresented themselves. Worse things have been done since then, much worse. But God, to purify his church, he goes, I'm taking them now. I'm taking both of you. And I'm going to shock my church into understanding that although they're in the age of grace, this is still my household. And he makes this point. And look at what's said after Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead by the Lord. And in verse 12 of Acts 5, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Well, that's an interesting line of scripture. No one else dared join them. I don't know what they were thinking exactly. They might have been thinking, I don't want to die. But we're told that certainly on the back of this thing that happened, people suddenly started second guessing whether they should join the church. I wonder if today in the Western church that would be a pastor's worst nightmare. I wonder if a pastor today in our modern age would desperately go and find those people and say, don't worry, everything will be fine, join us. I just think we've moved so far from this. But you've got people there who are like, I'm hesitant to join this church now. I'm not sure about it. So how does a person join a church with awe and seeing the signs and seeing the love and fellowship and knowing God has added them? And then there's also something of the fear. There's something of a fear that actually, this makes me a little nervous. I think of today, church culture, and I have no interest in just sort of lambasting churches. I think that's not right to do. But I do think we can look at how the spirit of the age can have infiltrated the church. And the way you see it sometimes is something that's good in and of itself begins to go a little bit hyper and begin to go a little bit too far. Or you think of something good would be, we want to meet people where they're at, right? We want to help people where they're at. Then it goes too far and it becomes, we've got a service just for you that you'll love. The people who come to this one are just like you and you'll enjoy it. And the worship, oh, it'll be great, but it won't be too long. And right where you think this is a bit much, we'll end it. And we'll go into the word and that word's gonna be 20 minutes long. Do you want 15? We can do 15 minutes if 20 minutes is too long. And don't you worry, we'll have you in and out in an hour. This is how the church is run today. Not all of it, but many parts of it. And it's run like that because we've moved so far away from the idea that actually even in joining a church, there is something slightly fearful in it. There's something a little bit nerve-wracking. And I wonder if that is absent when someone joins a church, if we even are doing this thing right, if we're understanding it right. Sometimes we don't feel that because we're just so numbed and we're just like so lost in our sin and people are trying to help us. But actually, if we had both eyes open and we join a New Testament church, there is something a little bit frightening about it. And what's frightening is this is God's household and it's serious. It's a serious thing to join God's house. I think one of the most fearful things is, could I hurt God's people? If I join this church and I'm not the way that God wants me to be, would I hurt God's people? Doesn't mean I shouldn't join them. It means I get my heart right. I get my life right. But there's a fear involved. There's looking at, Jesus said, take up your cross. He's walking on the side of the road and there's people on crosses. And he goes, you guys, stop. Like he's multiplied food and he's healed, opened blind eyes. And he goes, that thing there, you take yours up because it's coming. It's coming. And I want you to take yours. How did they feel about joining his group at that point? Like, are those fishing nets still there where I left them? Like what have we done? And Jesus goes, come and die. Come and die. And there's a fear even of joining God's people. I think that is healthy. I think we should expect hardship among God's people as we're discipled. Our flesh should experience hardship, right? I'm part of a comm leader, and I'm like, yeah, man, I love you guys. I'm in your comm. You guys are great. And then I don't come for 3 meetings in a row. And the guy phones me, and I'm like, who phones? Who dares to phone me
in an age where they can send a voice note. Hello? And the guy's like, hi. Hey, I love you, man. Oh, thanks. I was reading Hebrews and it says, do not forsake the gathering with the Lord's people, as some are in the habit of doing. And I'm worried that you're actually forsaking gathering with us. And to the mind that's been trained by a church that has no fear in joining a church, no fear. To the mind that's been trained by boards outside the meeting going, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. If you weren't here, we'd be dead. We're so glad you've come. Oh, what would we do if you weren't among us? We need to be saying that to the Holy Spirit. Of course we say to each other, we're so glad we're here. Of course we say to each other, we love you. Of course we say we're glad we're together. But we don't take this thing and create a theology out of it. And to the mind that's been trained by that, they get the phone call and they're like, how dare you try to control me? Who do you think you are? And the person on the other side is going, I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. And one of the sheep is wandering around. And hopefully that person speaks properly and says, oh, you're okay, is everything all right? And they give the benefit of the doubt. And we love, always trust, and we're speaking to each other graciously. But to the mind that refuses to have any kind of trepidation in joining a church, immediately gets its back up. So, what? You can't say that stuff to me. Don't you know you should be grateful I'm even here? And the church of God begins to collapse in on itself. And actually, as much as there's joy and there's a sense of God is bringing me here to help me and to heal me, and God is bringing me amongst this people in order to live a life worthy of Him, there's also a fear. Lord, when I join your church, it's serious, God. I know that things are going to happen that I'm not going to like. And I want to say this very clearly. If we are part of a church where nothing ever happens that we don't like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm not talking about people getting up and being offensive. I'm not talking about stuff like that. That's silly. That's childish. I'm talking about the trainer says to the athlete, run around the track. You can do it. I want you to win your race, and I want you to do it well. And at a point, the athlete's like, who the heck are you? Why are you telling me to run? And the trainer's like, I'm running with you. I'm running with you. I love you. But we got to run this race. Do you understand? We see the church. We can see the church wrong. And even as we come in amongst God's people, there can be an expectation that's got more to do with the world than with God. It's got more to do with the ways of the world than the ways of God. How does a person join a church? How does a person join a church? We needed that. Let me tell yous. Well, edit that. Edit it out. It'll just be the sound of laughter. How does a person join a church? With joy, and please understand, we come and find each other with great joy. And we're so glad we find each other. We find people who are gracious. We celebrate. We celebrate our little victories. All these little, like, I used to do this and now I don't anymore. And we're celebrating with each other. And we're praising God. And at the same time, we cannot act as though every person comes into a New Testament or a church that's trying to live up to the New Testament. And there's never a sense of fear. There is a sense of fear. It's like, God, you're here. I remember feeling it once. I think I've told this story before, but I was actually at Storehouse. Those New Covenant guys changed my life. Oh, my goodness. They utterly changed my life. And I remember a guy called Matt Keefe was leading worship. And he came and we all came forward for worship. Like, we'd all come forward and it was awesome. And then they just played one note. Dung, 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 dung. And they must have played it for 2 minutes. And 2 minutes is long. And I was like, wow. Maybe you guys should have practiced this before tonight. Like, maybe you could have had a practice or something. And it was like suddenly at once, I don't know what it was. It was the presence of God. It was like a rushing sense of the presence of God manifested itself among us. And I suddenly went, oh. And I suddenly realized I'd been playing church for my entire life.
I'd been playing a little game of coming and singing songs. I wonder what song I'm going to do. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was a bit lame. They could have played a bit better. I wonder how the word was. Yeah, I took notes, but it wasn't that great. And closed my book and never look at it. I was playing games with God's people. And suddenly it took guys to stand there playing one note, waiting on what God would do for me to go, oh, I'm in the house of God. Oh, oh. And I never saw it the same again. And it changed me. And there is a fear. There's some fear of being in God's household. There's a fear of being in a small group, in a community group, and being a person who brings in something that's ungodly. There's a fear of that. There's a fear of actually damaging God's people. There's a fear of not realizing when God is doing stuff and just being on our own mission. There's a fear, I mean, we've seen even among us over the years, this hasn't happened often, but it has happened, that people have even been publicly disciplined in the church to say, have nothing to do with this person. They're sinning and they won't stop. And we've tried to plead with them for a year and they won't stop. Now we say to you, have nothing to do with them. That's God's house. It's serious stuff. I know I'm preaching to the choir in large part, but we've got to carry this in our hearts. Even as people are in among us, even as people join us, even as people join our small groups, even as people join our meetings, as people join our friendship groups, we've got open hearts, wide arms, but we're also looking up at him. It's like we're embracing, but we're going, God, help us do this right. Help us do this your way, please, Lord. And that's how a person joins a church. The person joining doesn't even always realize all this stuff. They're just coming in amongst God's people. This is amazing. I'm loving this. But God's people are being trained. This is what we're doing. Hearts clear. Minds ready. We're open. We're celebrating. We're like a taxi, man. There's always room for one more. We can always get one more in. Always. And yet at the same time, that one more, we're going to say to them, do you know this is God's household? Do you know God's given us a job to disciple each other? Do you know that if we're part of a fellowship together and someone says, I don't really want to be discipled, do you know we're saying that to Jesus, actually? I don't really want to follow you because I don't want anyone to lead me and help me. And so we do things God's way. We do things the way the Lord has revealed them. We fight for this. Don't you know the enemy wants to dilute among us what God is strengthening? God comes to strengthen, bring into focus. He comes to sharpen. Always, God is in the business of getting us more alert, more sharp. And the enemy comes to do the opposite, to dull, to dilute, to create a sense of, really, is this the point? And so we fight together. We fight for this. Look at I'll just end with the scripture. In all this, we're actually just showing God's character. It's like the church's mission is to show God. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. His intent, that's God. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. His eternal purpose into eternity is that the church would show the manifold wisdom of God. So we worship God. We don't have an intermediary. Our way to get to God is Jesus. He described himself as the ladder, and we get to God through him. But the church shows something of God. And it's like these descriptions we've read in Acts. God is beautiful. He's got power. He's attractive. When you see him for who he is, you come towards him, you're drawn to him. But at the same time as we're drawn to him, he is a fearsome God. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's fearful. And so we balance these things and we don't become neurotic in them. We just balance them properly. We just look at them and say, both of these are true. God is fearful. In other words, he's not to be trifled with. But at the same time, he's loving,
gracious, tender, and we're drawn towards him. And this is how the church finds herself. We want to live up to that and show the world that, and certainly those coming in among us. The church shows something of God. And I thank the Lord, man. I thank the Lord for his church. I just don't know what else in this life I could give myself to that would have such eternal bearing as this. It's amazing to think about. The jobs we work are not nothing, right? They matter. They how we conduct ourselves. But in the end of the day, you get a job, you maybe something happens. I've been retrenched before, not from Oxygen Life, but I was retrenched from another job before this. I've been retrenched before. I just got another job. Just like, oh, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to have to do this now. I've got to do whatever I've got to do. But God's people, oh my word, my heart is bonded to them. My heart is tied to them. There's nothing, I think you give yourself to the local people, the local church, the people of God. I honestly think the only thing more important than that is loving God himself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. Then second, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we give ourselves to his people. But we model how he gave himself to us.